it forever, because it's not in the lectionary. That's one of the blessings of following this way of focusing on themes, because we get to look at scripture passages that aren't necessarily read in a three-year rotation. So this is called The Daughter of Jairus, from Mark. Seeing Jairus fell at his feet and made this earnest, seeing Jesus, Jairus fell at his feet and made this earnest appeal. My little daughter is critically ill. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she may get well and live. He had not finished speaking when people from the official's house arrived saying, "Your daughter is dead." Jesus disregarded the report, however, and said to the official, "Fear is useless. What you need is trust." Jesus took the child's father and mother where the child lay, and taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, get up." The girl, a child of 12, stood up immediately and began to walk around. Daughter, daughter of Jairus, we do not know your name, only that of your father, whose love for you drove him to his knees before the gathered crowd. In a patriarchal culture where men stood aloof and proud, your father, a wealthy CEO accustomed to giving orders and being in full control, fell and wept before a homeless carpenter. Oblivious of his humiliation and the pity and wonder of staring eyes, he broke down in public for you, whose name we do not know. But ah, we know your father, who cared for you more than all his dignity and reputation, and to whom your life, though small, was precious. He held your slender girl body in a place of honor and pride above his own. That indeed is how it should be for the weakest and the smallest. That's from a little book called Soul Sisters that I think you'll find I'm using quite often. It's one of my favorites. Don't be afraid. Words found in many places, both in the Hebrew and the New Testaments. Jairus must have been very afraid. His daughter was dying, a situation to strike fear into any parent's heart. Your father, who cared for you more than all his dignity and reputation, don't be afraid, Jairus. What you need is trust, says the writer of this little vignette. And then we also find the words in John. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Then, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat. They were frightened. But Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And so they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. And Jesus says to us today, "Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come and follow me, and I will give you rest." Jesus knows where our lives are at this point, and he knows what shall become of our lives in the future. Today he is calling each one of us to follow him in a loving and personal way. The phrase, "Be not afraid, I go before you always," is one I often lean on when times are tough. I haven't really experienced complicated grief myself, but I have certainly seen it expressed by many others, particularly if there is a death of a child at the heart of the matter. There are many stages of grief, but the one before us today is actually whatever stage we find it impossible to move past. And the stages, according to Kubler-Ross, are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and if we're lucky, finally, acceptance. The complicated stage of grief is the one that we are unable to move past. As Julia said last week, it might not be necessary that grief be the death of a loved one. One definition says that grief is everything that we think and feel inside after someone we love or leaves or something we are attached to goes away. For Jairus, it was his daughter. For the disciples, it was the loss, perhaps, of their own lives on the stirred-up sea. And the grief that we experience at a significant loss can be lasting for either a long or a short time, but normally it would follow that set number of stages. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And because we know that love never ends, so too grief never ends. It may soften or its expression may change, but if we have loved, we must master the consequences of the loss of that one that we loved. And this bulletin has right at the front a message from Queen Elizabeth II. She says, "Grief is the price we pay for love. And who would ever want to live without love?" As I was thinking about it this week, it occurred to me that the stage that I would personally get stuck at is anger. I have a very quick temper. You may not believe that of me, but it's true. Very quick and hard to forgive. So, it's immediately mitigated, however, in the stages of death that I have experienced, which really is only my grandparents, of course, and they were really old when I lost them, and my father, who was relatively young and died of cancer in his early 60s. But I've been around many dying people, of course, in my role as a minister, and I think I have experienced where there's a good death, we generally would not wish for that person to keep on living. Especially if there's some mental diminishment involved or unrelieved pain, which thankfully is not very common anymore. So swiftly, anger at the loss moves to acceptance. If you can say, "I wouldn't wish Dad back again to experience that pain that he was in at the last." In the times in my experience where I have seen complicated grief is when there has been unresolved conflict. Harsh words perhaps, or physical or mental abuse. Conflict with the one who has died or gone away. For whatever reason, there is a distance between the one grieving and the one who has gone. Now, there are times when the reason for the distancing cannot even be remembered, or the remembering is so painful that the memory is denied, the hurt is buried, and there is no moving past it at that point. Now, the temptation for the minister at this point, when you're, especially if you're speaking to a funeral family, is to offer advice. But actually, in deep grief, immediately after a death, that's the least helpful thing caregivers or Walker's Home can do. And I mention Walker's Home because I have used this little book many times if I'm looking for guidance on a path forward. It's called May I Walk You Home? Stories by Joyce Hutchison and Prayers by Joyce Rupp. Highly recommended if you're looking for a source. However, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in God's love for each one of us, and we believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in our world. So as much as we might find it easier to leave hurtful issues unresolved in life, and as unhealthy as that may be, we should remember always that God's Spirit works within us. When she is left room to love, to work, she can bring healing to the most intractable situations. God knows where we need healing. God knows the power of love and yearns to have us accept the urges of the Holy Spirit at all times, to experience healing and move past the grief of loss. I have some people in my life that I am estranged from, either not usually from harsh words, but it could be from distance. Right? We've moved around a lot, and I've lost track of a lot of people. And I call that an estrangement. So when I'm standing before a rack of cards at the store, I'm always looking for just the right one to send a little message to someone. Someone I can send to a person that I'm estranged from as a first step towards re-engaging with them. God's Spirit opens up many opportunities for love to bloom, even as mundane as standing in front of a rack of cards. The Spirit can be at work in those situations. It's a matter of being open to the Spirit. She will find a way to heal souls stuck in grief. God's Spirit sends people to us to help us find a way through the valley of the shadow. That's what community is about. Going and helping someone find the way through grief. And so it is that we move into new life. New understanding, a new community of love. Remembering always the one who's no longer part of our life, but who will be forever part of our love. Amen and amen. At this